The power of pauses and silence in business communication. Today I will help you to understand and really appreciate the strategic use of pauses and silence to enhance your business communication. I'll also demonstrate how not indulging your audience with pauses can sabotage your business communication. I've got a practical Coco-tastic challenge coming up too, so that you can apply these techniques immediately in your daily life at work. First of all, let's find out how strategically not saying anything at all, briefly, can boost your confidence and with that, your career. So this week, I have been coaching mechanical engineers, software developers, and interim managers. And one thing in common popped up repeatedly: the power of silence. So today, after my own month-long silence, less intentional, but thanks for waiting, we're diving into a powerful tool that most of us overlook: pauses and silence. Did you know that what you don't say can often speak louder than words? Let's explore how you can use this to captivate your audience and really make your message more memorable. In this brief episode, I'll be sharing specifically why pauses and silence matter, even though it feels incredibly uncomfortable at first. Together, we'll look at how you can intentionally use pauses effectively for more attention and impact. And because I'm transition tired, I'll be giving you some examples to demonstrate. At the end of the show, you'll get an opportunity to rise to the challenge of implementation with Coco's Communication Challenge, where you get the opportunity to try out these techniques in the next 3 days, ideally. So let's start with three reasons why pauses and silence matter. Firstly, pauses create emphasis, giving your conversation partners or audience an opportunity to process your key or important points. Indulge them for just a moment to reflect. It makes all the difference. It makes it easier to understand and process your message. And specifically, what's in it for them? Remember, what you are talking about in business is something that you are already familiar with. You have already spent time thinking about this. But for your audience, this might be brand new information or a fresh perspective. So pauses are gentle, considerate breaks in the conversation that gives them some thinking time. It's impossible for people to think about what you have just said if you have already raced on to the next part of your message. Silence builds anticipation and draws attention to your message. So at the beginning of this podcast episode, you might have noticed that I intuitively put this into practice. Let me remind you. I said, let's find out how strategically not saying anything at all can boost your confidence. And with that, your career. That's right. I made a pause. And with that, your career. I was pulling you into my message and building some anticipation about what to expect. You're still listening, so one could argue that it worked. Let's take another example. In an in-house business meeting, when you want to share, three optimization opportunities with your team, it would make sense to provide them with a verbal checklist, if you like, comprising of those 3 points, with a pause before and maybe even after each point, signposting that the next point is coming. Just like you would use commas, full stops, and bullet points in written emails. In a conversation, presentation, or speech, you absolutely must use pauses, silence, and ideally some finger counting to let people know where you are. Well-edited emails are easier to scan and process, making it easier for the recipient to pick out the most important parts. And the same is true of pauses and silences. They punctuate your message. So when I'm working with ghostwriters at the Bundestag or TEDx speakers, I encourage them to think actively about where a pause or silence can add impact to that message. I actually get them to mark their script, often using different colours, emojis and spaces, so that pauses are an integral part of that speech. I need to see where the pauses are on paper. If they are using a script, that's easy. If not, bullet points are fine too. And then I get them to show me where the pauses are in a dry run of the speech. So if you have yet to experiment with pauses and silence, then I can assure you that to start with, it feels dramatic. And you might feel that all eyes are on you. They probably are, actually, because you have attracted their attention. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. At the beginning, it feels incredibly uncomfortable. But if you are brave enough to persist and practice, it will feel more like you are driving the conversation. Your pauses and silences have drawn them into your message, just by saying nothing. Cool, huh? There is a British saying, silence is golden. And it's true. Silence gives us space. If the communication culture in your organisation is as dull as dishwater, with presentations feeling like a death sentence, then this will feel even more uncomfortable to you. You're challenging the status quo. People could be cheering you on, but in reality you'll get scepticism, questioning eyebrows and sideward glances. But be brave and persist. Persist and experiment to push yourself, but also to rescue your colleagues from meeting room misery. To start with, don't be overdramatic. Keep the pauses shorter to start with. But they'll soon get used to it, and in time, appreciate your newly improved communication style. And you'll notice your credibility increase, and what's more, people will follow your lead. What a relief. It's working. So the internal meeting I just gave you was motivational, wanting to sell an idea. But what about something more serious or disciplinary? Again, it's about making yourself easy to understand. In this case, for the sake of your sanity, you want to make this a crystal clear and confident message. When you need to exert a certain amount of presence, discipline, or seriousness, you definitely need to punctuate with pauses. No smiling, though. That sends confusing signals to those listening to you. Now, communication needs to be congruent if you are to build trust. That's when you'll feel your credibility climb. On a production line, for instance, at the end of a safety briefing, you would end with a summary, ideally. What's the core learning or call to action? So you might say something like, "So remember, earplugs at all times, please. Take responsibility for your long-term safety." Pauses are great for attention grabbing, building anticipation, and if need be, trepidation. As parents, we are great at this. I can vividly remember my own mother demonstrating this. "Corin, I need to speak to you about something. I need to speak to you now." So, pauses punctuate your message. It's like replacing the exclamation mark with a pause. To see how great speakers like Barack Obama use pauses with precision, check out the link in the show notes. In fact, get into the habit of watching TED Talks. And if you can attend a TED Talk event, even better. Alternatively, you can subscribe to Blinklist, where professional speakers are summarising books. Listen in English to your free daily blink to build a habit. By listening actively to how others masterfully use pauses, you'll be inspired to try it out yourself. Even if you feel like an attention-seeking drama queen at first, it will start to sound normal. Here's a practical tip for you. Use a short pause before delivering a key point to give it weight. So, for example, consider this dialogue. "Thanks for making time to speak to me today. I have a suggestion that I wanted to run past you. It's about high staff turnover." You see, before the high staff turnover part, I had a pause. Oh, what's she going to say now? So how exactly should you use pauses effectively? Well, there are three really easy, simple techniques. First of all, you can pause before making a key statement for impact. Secondly, you can use silence after asking a question to encourage reflection or responses. And number three, you can avoid using filler words like so when you're thinking about what to say next. Embrace the silence instead. So let's talk about how people get this wrong, shall we? I myself have been guilty of this first one, and it's something that can make you sound robotic and distanced. Overusing pauses. By using too many pauses, this can confuse listeners. Like, is it finished? Is she starting? Is this a list? So this makes it exhausting for people to listen to you. So be intentional about where exactly you want those pauses to be. And practice is the name of the game, right? Pausing for too long. Now, this can cause the virtual audience on Teams, for instance, to think that there's a technical issue or that you've lost your line of thought or rote faden, as the Germans would say. Pauses that are too long give those that interrupt a lot the opportunity to jump in. Let's face it, there are always people who love the sound of their own voice and have been painstakingly looking for an opportunity to dominate the discussion once again. So pauses are great, but not too long. A complete lack of pauses makes you very difficult to pay attention to. It's exhausting to make sense of what you are hearing if there are no breaks. If I speak like this and you can't hear the difference, it's really difficult to understand what I'm trying to say, and it's really actually quite stressful, isn't it? So in German, they actually say of someone who can talk your ear off or won't let you get a word in edgeways that they speak ohne Punkt and Komma, without using full stops and commas. So use breaks, use pauses. On a side note, there's actually an idiom for uncomfortable pauses where people feel under pressure to do or say something to break the silence. It's called a pregnant pause. It's that gap in the conversation where there's a ghastly silence when nobody knows what to say, like when a teenage daughter announces she's pregnant. Or maybe somebody who's 50-something. So, in terms of using pauses and extreme pauses or silence, the game changer is practice. The trick is to give yourself 2 to 5 minutes to reflect on your performance afterwards. You can even record yourself if you want to. Just put your phone on record before you say something significant in your pocket. That's something that we emphasise and show you on our Empower Her programme. We have even created dedicated journals for our participants. You would be amazed at how impactful it is to regularly handwrite your learnings, progress, and questions. There's another time to use pauses, and that's at the end of a topic, meeting, or sprint, for example, when most people typically ask, rather reluctantly as a rule, are there any questions? So what's the problem with that? Does it sound like they're genuinely interested in any gaps in your knowledge? Or does it sound like a box-ticking exercise? I recently updated my skills as an intercultural trainer via SIATR, the Society for Intercultural Training and Research. And Ariane Verduren and Edwin Hoffmann were leading the programme. And they shared a technique for making sure that each section was completely understood. And he changed the question from, do you have any questions, to, which questions do you still have? Or, what are you still unclear on? Do you notice a shift in intention? His expectation was that there would be questions. If you insist on your communication being clear and concise, then answering questions is an integral part of the process. People do have questions. The question is, do they feel comfortable enough to ask those questions? So by giving them time to process their thoughts, particularly in this case, many of us were non-native speakers, then by giving people time, they will have questions or observations, exceptions. Because no matter how well you explain something, there's always a scenario specific to their own industry, culture, or job that might be bouncing around in their brain, requiring clarity or confirmation. That's great. You've got them thinking. So now, the second part of the question time challenge, it takes guts. Do you know what it is? We're talking about pauses and silence. So it's silence. Shut up and let them think. So once you've said which questions do you still have, an assumption that there will be some, you stop talking completely. In pure silence, you shift your gaze away from your audience to give them the time and headspace to wonder, to ponder. Eye contact puts people under pressure. In a Teams call, you can move away from the screen slightly. Finally, they have time to think about what this means for them. I call it the revel in relevance moment. At the same time, in silence, you start counting in your head. In a face-to-face setting, you can now walk over to your strategically positioned glass of water a couple of steps away. Distract yourself with a big drink. Water for trainers is essential. We have to look after our voices and stay focused. So the glass is ideal for this. Put the glass down gently and refill your glass again from the bottle. 8, 9. Tidy up any pens or papers, still avoiding that expectant eye contact. Now, normally by 7 or 8, you get the first thoroughly thought through question. So ultimately, you are doing more than just welcoming questions. You can actually incrementally improve the communication culture in your organization by genuinely and respectfully not just framing this request for questions differently, but taking the time to handle any open knowledge loops. Of course, you need to leave plenty of time to answer those questions, right? I find that 10 to 20 minutes works really well for a really solid clarification like this. So you're probably looking forward to trying this on for size, right? Well, here's Coco's communication challenge. Whether you're at work, on holiday, it's the winter break here in Berlin, or just chatting with family, I want you to try this. During your next conversational presentation, pause intentionally before making an important point or after asking a question. Observe how people react. Do they physically lean in? Do they respond differently? Do they look up and focus on you more intentionally? If so, pauses are peppering your message with impact magic. So let's share our pausing experiences via LinkedIn, either in my post for this episode, just connect with me, Corinne Wilhelm, or send me a DM or an email to corinne@englishspeakingexperts.com. So allow me to summarise the main points of this episode. Pauses and silence are not just empty spaces. They're powerful tools that can really transform your communication. In the next episode, we will be learning about and practicing intonation, or how to use your voice effectively to emphasize your point for the sake of persuasion and clarity. To find out when that episode is available, just make sure to be subscribed to this show. If you have already subscribed and you listen in regularly, fabulous, thank you. And then it would help other professionals and English speaking experts to find the show if you would be so kind as to leave a review. Improve your business communication by using more pauses this week and share the impact that it's having on your reputation and credibility in the LinkedIn comments under the Coco's Communication Challenge post. Have a wonderfully inspiring and productive week and use your voice intentionally to make that happen.